This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Pastor Cornelis Pronk speaking. Isaiah has been called the evangelist of the Old Testament, and for a good reason. In many passages of his prophecy we find references to Christ and the gospel of free and sovereign grace. One of the clearest and most beloved of these Old Testament pictures of our Savior we have in Isaiah 55, verse 1, where the Lord, speaking through the prophet, says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price." Here we have the heavenly merchant offering his wares. Let us look at the articles for sale, the customers addressed, and the price stipulated. First then, the articles for sale. These are water, milk, and wine. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." In Scripture, the blessings of the gospel are often described in terms of water. Not only here in chapter 55, but also in chapter 35, the prophet Isaiah uses this metaphor. "In the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." And Ezekiel 47 mentions waters flowing forth from under the threshold of the temple, bringing life and healing wherever they went. And of course, Jesus himself used the same symbol in John 4 and 7. Now, as water is essential to life and is the means of cleansing, so the blessings of the gospel bring life to the dead and purity to the defiled. Then there is milk. This commodity is intended to point to the nutritious value of the gospel. By it, the soul is nourished and believers are strengthened in the faith. That's why the Apostle Peter exhorts us to desire the sincere or pure milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. Finally, our text mentions wine. This commodity represents the exhilarating influence of the gospel on the heart, by which we are filled with joy and consolation through believing. Here then is life, food, and happiness. The gospel contains everything we need for time and for eternity. Next, we are introduced to the customers, or the prospective buyers, of these gospel wares. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, he that hath no money." These are not two different classes of people, but different descriptions of one and the same type of persons. Who are these people this merchant seeks to persuade to buy his wares? Well, obviously, those who need the very things he's trying to sell. Isaiah paints us a picture of an eastern water vendor walking the hot, dusty streets looking for potential customers. These would be people with parched throats, anxious for some cool, refreshing water, or perhaps some cold milk, or chilled wine. In other words, he's looking for people who have a need for his products. So it is with the heavenly merchant, Jesus Christ. He too is looking for people who need the blessings of the gospel: forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and joy. All human beings are in need of these things. We all have our guilt feelings. We all long for immortality and happiness. The problem is, however, that we try to satisfy those deepest longings of our heart with all sorts of things. Some of us look for fulfillment in pleasures of the flesh. Others seek to fill the void within by more refined enjoyments of culture. Still others hope to find satisfaction in religion or morality. But it does not work. No one has ever found satisfaction apart from God and Christ. Things of the world never fill us up. Solomon calls them all vanities, and those who pursue them, he says, strive after wind. Isaiah says the same thing in verse 2. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" Yet people continue to do exactly that, especially in our country. Everyone is trying to quench his thirst at one fountain or another: sex, sports, luxury, trips abroad, bigger and bigger homes, swimming pools, VCRs, and what have you. But do these things really satisfy? Are people content and happy? They are not, because it is impossible to find fulfillment in this way. That's why the gospel of Christ comes with
it. Oh, everyone!
You may not realize that the deepest longings of your heart are spiritual, but you are crying out for something the world cannot give you. Only God can satisfy that thirst of yours. Ho, everyone! Ho! This is God's way of getting your attention. Listen, friend, the Lord says, I know what you need. Let me fill that empty heart of yours. I've got something that will really quench your thirst. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. He that hath no money, that means the customer Christ is looking for, is not in a position to purchase the good things offered by the vendor. Spiritually speaking, here is a man who is in need, but he cannot buy the things that will fill his need. Forgiveness of sins, eternal life, peace with God. This person is in a real predicament. I said that the invitation of the gospel goes out to all who are in need, regardless whether they are fully aware of it or not. But when the Holy Spirit shows them what their need is, they find out they have a problem. Not only are they in need of water, milk and wine, but they have no money to buy these things. Now, without money, nothing can be bought in this world's marketplace. And when a sinner is brought to the point where he realizes his spiritual need, he thinks that the same law applies in the market of heaven. He's afraid that he will never obtain the blessings of salvation because he has nothing to offer in exchange. Can you identify with this man? You also know that you need Jesus and his salvation. But how will that salvation become yours? You feel so sinful, so guilty. You have huge debt, and you have nothing to offer to God. You have no righteousness of your own. God demands perfect obedience to his law. See, you are totally bankrupt, and therefore you conclude, I can never be saved. But here's where the gospel surprises you. Isaiah 55 verse 1 teaches that for such people who have no money, there is water available too. Yes, and the strangest thing of all is, it is available to only to people who lack money. They are the only ones invited. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat. Here we have the price. Were you ever at a market where merchants crying up their wares? There were many people there with money to spend. These vendors will do the most to get some of that money out of the people's for their own. If they didn't believe money in people's pockets, they would save breath and they wouldn't even be there. And calling people and urging them to buy if they have no money. Yet the very people the Lord selects as his prospective customers. The heavenly merchant specifically states, he that hath no money. Why does the Lord do this? There are several reasons. The Lord offers his blessing to the penniless because this is most to his glory. The greater the need, the greater the honor Christ receives for meeting that need. But another reason is that in this way, the gratuitousness, the freeness of grace is illustrated most clearly. It shows that salvation is of the Lord alone and that man has nothing to do with it. He cannot buy it, not even a small part of it. For sinners who think they can buy it, the price turns out to be too high. For sinners who know they can't buy it, salvation is free. This reduces us all to the level of beggars, I know. Too humiliating. Too humiliating. They would like to make a contribution, and if only one. But God says, no. My salvation is... That's why the Lord insists on stipulating the price for his wares. Now, this is normal procedure in business, of course. The seller sets his price. And before the sale is made, he and the buyer come to an agreement on the price to be paid. So it is also in spiritual life. But with this difference, that whereas in business a buyer may with great difficulty be brought the seller's price, in heaven's market, it is very hard for the customer to come down to the Lord's price. We insist on setting our own price so often, don't we? We want to pay something in exchange for salvation. Is this not your problem, sinner? You know that you have nothing, that you keep on trying to come up with something. You would very much like to have God's blessings. You long for forgiveness, for peace, joy, and eternal life. These things are freely offered, but you have not bought them yet at God's price. If only I were a better person, you sigh. If only I could quit that bad habit, change my ways, pray more earnestly, repent more seriously. In other words, if only I had some money. But as long as you insist on paying a price, you'll never get the blessings offered in the gospel. You'll never taste that water, that milk, and that wine. You must come down to the Lord's price. He asks you to simply receive his salvation as a gift. Open your mouth wide, he said to Israel. I will fill it. But doesn't this make the gospel cheap in the sense of worth very low? This gospel and its blessings, while free to us, has been purchased at a very high price. You and I may buy without money and without price, because that water, this milk, and this wine has been paid for already by him whose hands and feet and side were pierced by nails and a spear so that blood flowed out of his veins. That was the price, Jesus' blood. And that is therefore the only money that is current in the kingdom of God, the sin-atoning blood of our great Redeemer. Only if you come pleading that blood of Jesus, you will receive salvation. Only by trusting in his finished work on the cross, your sins are forgiven. You are reconciled to God. On that cross, Jesus cried out in great agony, I thirst. He, the creator of water, wine, and milk, was thirsty. But he deprived himself of all these things so that he might give us all these things at no cost to us. So that now he can cry from heaven, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Yes, whosoever will, let him take the water of life free. Amen.